Chapter 8. This was a strange brood, Antonia Marcillac thought to herself, and no mistake. For the millionth time, she wondered whether it wouldn't have been cleverer to stay in Miragliano and throw herself on the mercy of the city's fathers. She'd had nothing to do with Isidro's damned poison water, and suspected he was only taking her away with him to his luxury bolt-hole in Bretonnia, because she knew a lot about the careless way he'd pursued personal profit at the expense of public safety. She should have turned the hog in and petitioned for a reward instead of sticking by him. He was no use anyway, never had been. Even when things were going well, he'd been more interested in the counting house than the bedroom. She should go back to the stage and try to get out of the chorus and into a featured spot. She could act better than some, dance better than most, and the customers always liked to look at her legs. She was still young. She wanted some fun. And here she was, surrounded by refugees from the kind of melodrama the City Fathers had banned from the Miragliano Playhouse as overly morbid and liable to incite public disorder. Before the ban, she'd been in them all, shaking herself during the prologues and getting murdered during the first acts of Brithan Crags Ystareth, or The Plague Demon and Orfeo's Tall Tale, or The Doom of Zaragoz, Detlef Sieck's The Treachery of Oswald and The Strange History of Dr. Zykiel and Mr. Chaida, ferrying the Balladeer's incredibly violent Brave Conrad and the Skullface Slaughterer, Bruno Malvoisin's obscene Seduced by Slaneshi, or The Baneful Lusts of Diogo Brisac. Those plays had dark and stormy nights, and weary travellers forced to stay the night, and puritanical harridans, and family curses, and secret passages, and much altered wills, and ghouls, goblins, and ghostliness. And here she was, in one again, promoted from the chorus to a featured role. She'd have to watch herself before the first act curtain. The witch, pounding the harpsichord, was competing with the thunder and lightning, while the aunt who hated harlots was foaming at the mouth with righteous hysteria, and the cleric of Renald was sneaking looks at her cleavage whenever he thought he was unobserved. Schedoni seemed courteous enough, but Antonia wasn't convinced he was still alive. She suspected he might be a wired-together corpse used as a ventriloquist's dummy by the scarred butler. She looked around the great hall, wondering where the entrances to the secret passages were. Rovaglioli, the harridan's husband, was still eating, while everyone else was paying attention to his dark daughter. He was a noisy, messy eater, and food fragments were scattered about his place at the table. Antonia was tired, and looking forwards to a big, warm, fresh-laundered bed without Isidro D'Amato in it. They had brought out Estalian's sherry, and it was doing her good inside. Her clothes had dried on her body, and she relished the thought of peeling them off and toweling herself down. Maybe she could find skilled hands to help her with that. Alexander seemed likely enough, and Father Ambrosio would doubtless be keen to volunteer his services. She wasn't that wonderful as a dancer, but she had other skills. She could always find a comfortable place somewhere. She always had. Chocca poured her some more sherry. She was feeling quite tipsy. Rovaglioli scooped a spoonful of some flavoured gruel into his mouth. Antonia wasn't sure whether it was savoury or sweet. He gulped it down with a slurp and reached out for more. Then he paused and his cheeks ballooned as if he had bitten into a whole pepper. His face reddened and the veins in his temples throbbed purple. Tears leaked from his eyes and slipped into the cracks of his swelling cheeks. He slapped the table with both hands, his full spoon splattering gruel around him. Christabel continued to play, but everyone else looked at the suffering man. Rovaglioli held his throat and seemed to be struggling, trying to swallow something. "What is it?" asked Schedoni. Rovaglioli shook his head and stood up, His throat apple was bobbing, and he was breathing uneasily. His eyes were wide open, bloodshot and panicked.
"It's justice," snarled Flaminea. "That's what it is."
Chocker tried to help the man, holding him upright, giving him a goblet of water. Ravaglioli looked worse than the poisoned plenipotentiary in Sendek Mittal's Lustrian Vengeance, or I Will Eat Their Offal, when he was told that the deathbane-laced tripes he had just eaten were pulled from his beloved grandmother while she was still alive. He pushed the servant away, but poured the water into his mouth, sucking vigorously. He gulped, and the blockage in his throat went down towards his stomach. He drained the rest of the water and reached for the sherry, laughing.
"What was it?"
Schedoni asked. Ravaglioli shrugged and smiled, wiping the spittle off his chin.
"It felt like a metal ball. I've no idea what it was doing in the gruel or what it could have been. It was coated with something sticky."
Then he grabbed his stomach as a spasm hit him.
"It hurts!"
Ravaglioli began shaking, as if lapsing into a fit. He held the edge of the table and grit his teeth.
"Burning inside! It's growing! Hot!"
Suddenly he bent backwards, his spine audibly snapping against the chair rest. His swelling stomach burst through the hooks of his doublet and was exposed. Christabel stopped playing and turned on her stool to look at the commotion her father was causing. Chocker backed away from the flailing man, and several people moved their chairs to give Ravaglioli room. His eyes were showing only white. His stomach was distended like a pregnant woman's about to deliver triplets. Red stretch lines were appearing in the skin. The man was groaning, and there were noises inside him, breaking and tearing noises. Antonia couldn't look away. With a sulphurous bang, Ravaglioli's stomach exploded. Gobbets rained around him, and his chair collapsed. A wisp of blue smoke curled out of the gaping hole in his midriff. Somebody screamed and screamed and screamed. And Antonia realized it was her.